SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it may be hump day, but it doesn't mean we stop the good, the bad, and the dumb. In fact, we just get better on Wednesday.
In fact, we have a double amount of good that we got to get
to. Double amount of good, that's
yeah,
right.
There's two good stories that I just can't pass up.
All right, what's the good today?
We'll start with the first one is Coco Gauff.
Yeah.
Definitely the new starlet in women's tennis.
Awesome.
If you thought that it was just a fluke of her run in Wimbledon when she went 3-1 and beat the likes of Venus Williams, made it all the way to the quarters in her first major ever. Well, she had her first match yesterday at the U.S. Open and rallied and just took the crowd by storm. Put the crowd on her back. Unreal.
It was awesome. It was awesome. I saw some of the highlights. It's awesome. She's really, really fun to watch. When she's on your TV, watch it. She really is fun to watch.
You don't want to miss it.
Yep.
She's 4-1 in majors.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, if you really think about it, she's 4-1 in majors. That's a great stat to have.
It is.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of given this like renewed spirit in tennis. It's men's tennis has been dogging it for years now.
We're talking about
U.S. And
right.
even overall, because it's been the same three guys at the top of the leaderboard every single time.
Right.
And so it's kind of, men's tennis has kind of gotten stale, but women's tennis, there's a little bit of excitement. And let's face it, we're always in for America. We're always, we become homers, I guess.
Well, wait till the next young male tennis player from the United States starts playing well. Some 19-year-old kid that is like a Pete Sampras and makes a run at a U.S. Open or a Wimbledon or something along those lines, even if he doesn't win it but shows like that he can go toe-to-toe with Rafael Nadal and the other guy.
Roger Federer.
Roger Federer. Yeah,
Djokovic.
Djokovic. Why am I drawing a blank on these guys?
Because it's tennis.
It's tennis. Okay, my point is, the guy that can go toe-to-toe with these guys, like at 19, even if he loses, but shows tremendous promise, boy, Madison Avenue is going to grab him by the shirt collar and really putting him up, because we're dying for that in this sport. We have not had one in a very, very long time. When was the last young male tennis player? Andy Roddick?
Yeah.
Andy Roddick? Maybe John Inzer? But even John Inzer, I don't think, has done much.
Yeah, but he was interesting just because of how tall he was.
Yeah, he was tall.
God, man, I can't believe a 20-foot guy can't play tennis.
But Andy Roddick was legit. He was a U.S. Open champion, legitimately in finals and playing Federer and whatnot. And then that's it.
Yeah, but he only has one major to his name.
He only has one major. But the female side of it has been great. And Coco Gauff is fantastic.
Coco Gauff is very good. Next time she's coming up, we'll try to alert you the next time she's playing.
Yeah,
how about
absolutely.
That? We'll help you guys out.
So you got a double good today?
I do have a double good because my other good has to go to Christian Yelich.
Oh, I loved this story.
Christian Yelich, he's going to be in ESPN's body issue, which means that he's going to be posing naked. Not a bad issue when that comes out. More for me from the female side. I like seeing the toned athlete body.
Sure,
but there was a I'm gonna say maybe a house mom. I'm not sure who it is. Someone on Twitter just took offense with the Twitter handle at RoxanneJ77. She said at Christian Yelich, "It's really sad how you didn't give a thought about all the young kids that idolize you before doing your naked photo shoot. Distasteful." Christian Yelich responded, "Relax, Roxanne."
Oh, yeah.
But then he took it a step further.
Of course he did.
He had to take it a step further. Here's his walk-up song from yesterday.
That's awesome. Well done.
I mean, is there any better way to just... I don't even know. You could say it's like, this is an MVP-worthy troll.
That is a very good troll. That is a great troll.
It's subtle, but it gets right to the point.
I hope that was his idea and not some PR guy's idea that went, what would be really funny, Christian, if you had Roxanne as your walk-up song, and he went, yeah, do that. That sounds great.
Nah, I'm
kind of hope it's his idea.
I'm going with all him. I'm giving him the MVP award for
troll
of the year.
because that would really solidify him as the MVP.
Yes.
That's just awesome. Well, well, well done. And I'm sure that poor woman's account has to be taken down.
I think she switched it over to private.
Yes, and I can't take it.
Because it's the ESPN body issue. Every single year, there's going to be someone that complains to some athlete saying, why are you posing naked on this magazine? It's called the body issue for a reason. They're celebrating the human athletic body.
Let me tell you something, man. When I was a kid, I used to love the swimsuit issue, Sports Illustrated, as a young man growing up.
Of course.
But 2 weeks later, I also loved the letters to the editor that came out because I loved seeing all those people say, cancel my subscription.
Yep.
So it was just this really neat thing to watch people melt down over. Like, even as a kid, even as like a 12-year-old boy, I kept thinking to myself, they do this every year, and yet people write these letters as if they're so shocked this magazine showed up in their mailbox.
Maybe it's because the bathing suits keep getting smaller.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And one lady did complain. She said, I normally enjoy the swimsuit issue, but I have to complain about a page and then whatever it was. She goes, the model was sitting with her back to the picture, and the swimsuit was crumpled up and thrown off to the side. I had no idea how it would look. And I thought that was hilarious. As if, because remember they would put the price of the swimsuit?
Yes.
They would say, this swimsuit designed by so-and-so, then they'd give you a price. And everyone's like, oh, they're actually selling these?
Well, what about one year? It wasn't even swimsuits. It was all body paint.
Right. It was all body paint.
Like, we literally were seeing naked women up there. Which could tell us it's all paid.
Awesome.
You know, the only problem I have with like Roxanne calling out Christian Yelich is like, why did she call out the entire Philadelphia Eagles offensive line?
Why not? Yeah.
The entire line is in the body issue.
Yep.
Posing together.
And it's too bad that they can't see what it's for. I mean, this is really tastefully done. It's a lot of the athletes love doing it because it is tasteful, and it does, like you said, it sort of it highlights the athleticness of a word? The athleticness.
It is now.
Well, it is now. Put it in the Tony V vocabulary.
That's right.
The athleticness of the bodies of the athletes. So it's done. It's really well done. And again, they've been doing it forever. Stop pretending
forever.
Like you're new to the new to the game.
I've never known they've done this before.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So what's the bad?
This is really bad. This is. I mean, this is one of the worst things I can think of. Tony, is that Mario Kart is officially coming to your phone next month.
Ooh, I don't know if I like this.
Yeah, because goodbye radio.
Yeah.
Goodbye life. Seriously.
Yeah, Mario Kart's fun, man.
It's so much fun.
That's great.
And now it's just going to be conveniently, you're going to be able to hold it in your hand and just play whenever you want to. You don't have to
that's pretty wild.
Wait for Nintendo to go through its ads and warm up and all that fun stuff. You can just play it right then and there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've had really good times with Mario Kart in my day.
That's why, I mean, this is probably one of the worst things we've ever had to announce on the show.
Yeah, I know.
Because it might really just be announcing the end of the show.
Yeah, that's
true. a lot of dead air.
Yeah.
You might hear the Mario Kart music in the background. Just know we are thinking of you.
I like being Luigi. That was always my character.
Of course.
I like being Luigi. But I never could understand. I was never as good as my kids. My kids were really good at it. And I would go, how do you get so good at this? Like, I was really, I thought I had gotten it down, but I wasn't even close to my kids. They were so much better at me than them.
When they were younger, I was able to take them, and you know, I could lose on purpose.
Yeah.
That's what I enjoyed. I enjoyed losing on purpose to them because, you know, you see the joy in their eyes. They don't know that I lost in purpose. But I did, and it still gave me satisfaction. And now I can't.
Yeah. It's no, I couldn't do it.
Now I'm sitting there. I'm like, you know, if I win, I sit there thinking, did he just let me win so I can keep playing?
Yeah.
So he would keep me in here.
I have great memories of like my entire neighborhood of kids at my house on rainy days playing Mario Kart.
Of course.
Forever. Just loaded up. Like everybody's taking turns. Everybody would, you know, go downstairs, get something to eat when it wasn't their turn. Like just these great Mario Kart parties. Those were good times. So yeah, that's bad because
that is bad.
Most people are now going to stop doing what they're going to do in life and do that.
Yeah.
So, all right. What's the dumb of the day?
There's no progress in the United States now.
No, that's right.
The dumb of the day, you know, I'm struggling with this. I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, I know you're a huge documentary guy. I think that.
Love it.
But I don't know if this is going to be written as a documentary. It's a movie that's going to be coming out, directed by Eva Longoria, and it's about Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
It's a whole documentary on Flamin' Hot Cheetos?
I don't know if it's going to be done in the style of a documentary, but it is going to be based on the true story of how Flamin' Hot Cheetos came to be.
And well, can we do that in like 10 minutes?
Yes.
Like, it doesn't seem like that's a difficult, in-depth thing.
I mean,
unless it is, Flamin' Hot Cheetos came into the world, but you need to know the story. It involves murder, theft, and an alien from outer space.
I'm hoping it's more than just, because the premise, that the one thing I saw was that it was a janitor working at the Cheeto factory who came up with an idea of, you know, we should make these spicy. Or hot, or whatever.
And the corporation said, get out of here, you're fired for speaking out of turn.
I'm hoping there's more to it.
Yeah, me too.
Because that does seem like a, you know, if you're going to do it, that seems like a short film documentary?
That's
an Oscar category?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, where you can wrap this puppy up in 10 minutes, like, yeah, you just had a brilliant idea one day, and Cheetos went, you know what? I like it.
In the last 4 months, I've seen a documentary on the perfect Price is Right bid and the decline of the baseball card industry. I mean, I'll be into any topic, but you better give me a hook other than Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I just thought it was, hey, come up with some flavors. And they went, well, what about spicy? People like that. Great, make one. It's usually how these things work, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically, here he goes. Let's see. Eva Longoria is going to take her authentic approach to portraying the inspiring story of Richard and Judy Montanez. Richard rose from humble beginnings to achieve the American dream. The son of a Mexican immigrant, Richard was a janitor at Frito-Lay when he came up with the idea of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. His creation, inspired by the flavors of his community, revitalized the company and disrupted the food industry, creating a pop culture phenomenon that continues today.
I wouldn't say it disrupted the food industry. Well, that's a little hyperbolic, don't you think? Disrupted the food industry?
Disrupted the food industry.
Really?
Well,
okay. I mean, if it's a good story and the hoops that he had to take.
Again, I mean, this seems like something you can wrap up like in 10, 20 minutes.
Okay, but here's a good question. If you were, trust me on this, if you were to go to a company, okay, let's say you were to go to the Oreo company. Right. And you said, I got a great flavor for Oreos. I bet you've never thought of. You need to do and just name a flavor. I don't care what it is. Right.
Bacon maple. Say,
bacon maple Oreo. Right. That's all right. Let's use that as an example. And you went to them and you said, you should do a bacon maple Oreo. Right. They would have their lawyers on top of you in 2 seconds to make sure that if they ever came up with a bacon maple Oreo, you never got a piece of that.
Right.
Like, just to make, they would make you sign a waiver, whatever. They would pretend like the conversation never happened, right? They would make sure, in case they ever came up with it, they don't want to give you a royalty on that. So the backstory of this could be interesting from the standpoint of, did Frito-Lay resist it? Did they put roadblocks in the sky to sort of capitalize on that? Did they pretend it was their idea and he had to fight them? Is there more to that story?
Well,
so that would be a little interesting if there's some meat to that. But if it was Frito-Lay going, of course, janitor, we think that's a brilliant idea. In fact, we can make you wealthy with that idea. Then it's not a story.
And I mean, the other part I'm struggling with is that it said Frito-Lay was struggling. When has Frito-Lay ever struggled?
Were they really? No, because I eat all their stuff.
Yeah. I've single-handedly kept them in business.
Real quick, but you know what I would? You know what documentary I wouldn't mind seeing on the same line? The Lay's potato chips, choose your flavor or create your own flavor. Documentary on, you know, when they come out with like Southern biscuit and gravy and, you know, sriracha and all these different flavors every year where they come up with like three or four. I wouldn't mind seeing the behind the scenes look at some of the crazy ones that they've had. And
maybe that's what it is. I mean, I misspoke.
How they put that together.
It wasn't that they were struggling. It said it revitalized the company. Because I guess maybe around when Flaming Hot Cheetos came out, they started experimenting with all sorts of different flavors.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like dill pickle potato chips. And
yeah. So maybe this is a precursor to that story. It's the prequel.
That's right.
Leading into that story where somebody went, you know what? Flaming Hot Cheetos took off. Let's do a whole bunch of different flavors.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago I ate a potato chip that tastes like a gyro sandwich.
That sounds disgusting.
I know. Well, it wasn't all that good. The biscuits and gravy, though, that was actually good. That was actually good. All right, it's good, the bad, and the dumb. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.